Who that? Who that? Who that say they're going to beat them Saints? Deuce McAllister, Zach Shreve here with you on Fans in the Pro. And it's an abbreviated show, first of all. I want to let you know. I hope you guys are having an outstanding Friday. But it is an abbreviated show because at 6:30, we will have LSU basketball versus Furman coming on. So you guys got us for the next 2 hours and 20 minutes, and we want to talk to you. We have a huge matchup this weekend versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'll give you a show rundown. In 10 minutes, we will have Trey Essex, former tackle. I think Trey was a
– Trey played guard. He played guard in Pittsburgh mostly. He played tackle at Northwestern. He's a teammate of mine, played left tackle for us at Northwestern. We were in the same class together.
Okay, but I hadn't introduced you yet, so you can't come on. I'm running this show today, okay? I love you, though. Yeah, that, I don't know who that guy was, but at 4:20, I'll have Trey Essex on to talk about the Steelers and the matchup that we have this weekend. At 5:35, Lance Moore, former Saint and Steeler. He is NFL TV radio analyst, actor, as well as a wide receiver trainer. We got to find out about this actor stuff.
I said the same thing.
It's an actor.
Oh, wow. Acting.
Yeah, and then 6:10, Jake Madison, host of Locked On the Pelicans podcast. We will talk a little bit about the ever-growing Anthony Davis to the Lakers, rumors, LeBron, whatever we want to call it. But anyway, the Lakers play the Pelicans tonight on ESPN at 9:30, so check them out tonight. And that voice that you guys obviously know and heard, I'm going to introduce him to formerly Zach Shreve. So Deuces, I took over the mic, and he wasn't very happy. But
I'm over here pouting.
Yeah, he's pouting. But Zach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I told you I'm revved up. I got to go to the facility twice this week. I wanted to go see the fellas. I was homesick a little bit. So I went in and saw the guys. I do want to tell you now. So you know they have the basketball hoop in the locker room now.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen that before. And this year they got a nice one. It's like an actual basketball hoop. It used to be this
breakaway win.
Used to be a little deal we put in one of the lockers, and it was just kind of what we used as a little tiny ball. This one's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit nicer. I've never played on the new one.
Did they steal it from across the street?
I don't think anybody playing on this across the street.
Well, across the street, that's the Pelicans facility.
Emery might be playing on this one, but yeah. I don't think there's any Pelicans. But so I went by there yesterday, and I held it down for us, Deuce. I went 2-0. We had six guys playing. I went 2-0, undefeated. I also, just for the record, in two games, I knocked out 10 people.
Really?
Put that together with six guys. It means I knocked out every single person.
Oh, playing horse?
It's a version of horse. It's called 30. It's similar. You put points on it. If you make a shot.
Who created this
10.
Game?
It's a locker room game. You know how
I mean,
was.
But I just wanted to.
It's been
around
for a couple years. I don't know who created 30, but it was around last year, so I knew the rules. But it was a dominant performance put on. I just wanted you to know I represented the booth well.
I like that, but I just wanted to know who created the game.
I don't know. What? You quit worrying about that, man. You're missing the point. Undefeated.
I like that
we
you
were
undefeated. Yeah. My Blue Runner food opinions poll question. Will Santa leave the number one seed under the Saints tree, or will the Steelers be a Grinch? I don't like that question, Zach. You had to come up with that one. And that question again, it's my WWL Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. Will Santa leave the number one seed under the Saints tree, or will the Steelers be a Grinch and steal it away and make us wait one more week? Give us a call, 504-260-1870, or text 870-870. Let us hear from you, Who Dat Nation, as we try to wrap up this great, a little chilly Friday afternoon. It's a little chilly for me. The wind was blowing. It was howling. It was
too much.
It was howling last night. It's starting. The temperature's starting to warm up a little bit. But you know,
it's supposed to be 70 on Sunday.
Well, it's gonna be upset. 68 or 70 in the dome.
They're ruining Christmas.
Yeah,
ruining Christmas for me.
I can't help you. You and Santa on your own,
warm
right there.
Weather down here.
Yeah, well, you on your own. We're gonna take a break. You're listening to WWL. Trey Essex is coming up in about 5 minutes. Welcome back to Fans in the Pro with Deuce McAllister, Zach Shreve. Right now we are joined by Trey Essex. Let me see if I can do this right. Trey, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Happy holidays, folks.
happy holidays to you, Trey. I don't know how you dealt with my partner, your former partner, but you got to tell me, you know, right now we on air, I don't want too many secrets, but I need some trade secrets against this young man. I got some good stuff, but I'm talking about, like, you know, way back type stuff.
What you talking about Big Sexy over there?
How about that? Huh?
Big Sexy. Hey,
there's not too many bad things I can say about my man.
Well, no, not while you're on the air with us, but, I mean, you got something.
Nope, he has got Trey, he's such a hater. Like, such a hater. It's mind-blowing to me sometimes. But my guys,
if you say the word Lupo around here, he might get a little bit more nervous.
Man, that's such a bad story to bring up publicly, Trey. What do you think?
I just said Lupo, man. You're making it sound worse than what it is. I just said Lupo.
I'm going to dig. Don't worry about it.
You know, we used to get line loofahs. Everyone got a new loofah to start training camp every year.
A loofah.
See? You remember what a loofah was?
Man. I don't know.
I didn't know what a loofah was until I got to Northwestern.
I don't know what a loofah is either.
You're
but
making us look bad.
Trey, how you doing, man? I hope you're having a great Friday afternoon. Thank you for coming on. Saints play the Steelers this weekend, and we want to just get first just your overall opinion of this Steelers team. You know, to me, the way that I see it is a team that can beat anybody but also has played down to its competition. Just give us your opinion of how you think the Steelers team has played up to this point.
I mean, you hit it on the head. This has been a frustrating season for us fans of the Steelers. Obviously, I played there for 7 years, but my fandom hasn't died one bit. If anything, it's increased since I've been able to watch it from the couch a little bit more and do some analysis on this end of things. But it's been frustrating because it started out kind of slow with that 1-2-1 start, and then we went on that streak of five or six games in a row, which we seem to do every single year. We put a long string of games together. But this last losing streak outside the game against New England, it was very frustrating because we were doing things that were very uncharacteristic. Our defense, which had played so well up to that point, started to show some holes and some weaknesses. That our secondary started to get those same old ghosts that we used to get earlier in the year. That was a big emphasis for us to rebuild in the offseason, and that did good. But it seems like that New England game, they got some things fixed out on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, we still need to limit turnovers, but I think you hit it on the head. They play down to their competition, but for the big games, they show up.
Trey, I hate to be a homer on this too, because I want to talk about the offensive line in Pittsburgh, and obviously a position you're familiar with and me as well. This is a group really throughout the season. I think a lot of the discussion about who's the best line in football, it's really come down to the Steelers and the Saints this year. And there's one position in that group in general that I want to ask you about, and that's Matt Feeler, who's filled in at right tackle for Marcus Gilbert when they lost him to an injury. And obviously him lining up across from Cam Jordan for us, anytime a Saints fan sees a backup, quote unquote, lining up across from Cam Jordan, they get excited. But he's had a pretty good season.
Yes. He's going to get some elite pass rushers. He had a really good game against Von Miller in Denver, which I was really keen in on that matchup because up to that point, he hadn't really went against any elite pass rushers per se. And he showed up well, but not to say he didn't have a lot of help. We understand that he's not Marcus Gilbert. Now, he brings his own strengths to the table. He's a great run blocker. He's not the quickest of feet, I guess you could say, over there. So he will get help. I mean, we understand the beast that Cameron Jordan is. And so you'll see Vance McDonald. You'll see Jalen Samuels and Steven Ridley over there chip blocking. So we understand what kind of damage he could do to an offensive line. But Feeler has played really well, considering that he wasn't expected to play this big of a role. But Gilbert has had injury issues in the past, so this wasn't a new thing for him going down. So they knew they had to really teach up the backups, and Feeler was that guy who stepped up in a big spot at the right time.
You talk about the running game and Feeler being good in that area, and the running game kind of took a hit again today. James Conner announced that he would be down for this week. They announced him out. Now, Jalen Samuels last week comes in, rookie out of North Carolina State, and has his first career 100-yard game. But this is a better football team with James Conner than it is without him.
It is. I mean, without a doubt. And I'm glad Jalen stepped up in that role, because we needed the run game in order to be successful against New England. But we're going against the number one defense against the run this week in your Saints over there. And so we got our work cut out for him, and we want to need Samuels to come through in a big way again if we're going to have success on the offensive side of the ball. It does suck that James Conner is out, but high ankle sprains are a beast, and they're unpredictable as to how fast somebody can recover from them. But they have faith in Samuels and Ridley to carry the load back there, but we also got Big Ben and the plethora of receivers to throw to. So if you guys stuff to run like you've been doing, then you can see a lot of passing from number seven back there.
Certainly Ben Roethlisberger leading the league this year in attempts, a whole bunch of them, 580 pass attempts with 2 weeks ago, which is crazy. And you talk mm-hmm. about that passing game, and you guys got a lot of weapons. One of those weapons, Juju Smith-Schuster. I always want to say that backwards for some reason. But Juju announced this week a groin injury that happened possibly in practice.
Right.
You know, and obviously a guy, listen, he's having a career year. It's a young career. It's just his second season. But, you know, over 1,000 yards, probably will go over 100 receptions this season. What does it do to have two of those guys? You got Antonio Brown. Everybody knows about Antonio Brown, who actually has fewer yards receiving this year than Smith-Schuster, who's really kind of turned into, at least within the field of play, Ben's favorite target this year.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been keying in on Antonio, and I don't even think it was by choice. He kind of had to go to Juju, and Juju has adapted himself well in this offense. After coming off that big year, he was an unknown commodity, even though being a second-round draft pick, he was the fifth receiver chosen in the draft last year and really hit the ground running and really picked up where he left off that first year and the second year and has improved upon that performance. But, yeah, that groin injury, I think he'll be okay to go tomorrow. He's questionable. The kid is really tough, man. I mean, really tough kid. He makes the tough catches, and I don't imagine this will keep him out of this big of a game tomorrow.
Talking to Trey Essex, played 8 years in the NFL, two-time Super Bowl champion at Trade Day 79. Tell me a little bit about playing for Coach Tomlin. You know, he seems and looked like he's just this cool player's coach, but when he has to chew you out, is that what he has to do? I mean, is that what I'm seeing in Coach Tomlin?
Yeah, I mean, you got it. I mean, and usually when coaches get that player coach tag, they equate it to being a little soft and letting guys get away with everything. That he's not that guy. Now, I know Steelers have been in the news for a lot of stuff off the football field, which is unfortunate, and everybody wants to put blame on Tomlin because of that. The great thing about him is he lets his men be men, and he holds you to a high standard. And, you know, he has all the sayings and all the cliche, the standard is the standard, it is what it is, all that stuff, but he really holds true to that, and guys love playing for him. I did. I know I did.
Well, Trey, I appreciate it, man. You be safe up there. And you in Chicago right now?
I'm in Indy, man. Indianapolis.
You're in Indy.
Chicago is my second home.
You're
man.
In nap town.
Hey, listen, Trey finished up in Indy. He never moved away. He stayed right there. Fort Wayne guy.
I'm from Fort Wayne.
Nap town. Well, Trey, appreciate you coming on with us, man. You take care of yourself. And you can find him on Twitter at TreyDay79. You hold it down, and I'm going to hit you up for some info on Mr. Shreve over here.
I got more. There's more than just the Lufas. But,
all right, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Trey. Happy holidays. Good talking to you, buddy.
All right, thanks.
That's my guy now. We came in together. He was a tight end. He was a big recruit for us in Northwestern. He's a four-star tight end at Northwestern. Played as a freshman at Northwestern at tight end. He was a dominating run blocking tight end, really good athlete. Had a really fun time that first summer, Deuce. Had a good time.
I need stories.
He gained about 60 pounds. He came back to camp and
day one,
he's a tackle.
You'll tackle. All right. You're listening to Fans in the Pro with Deuce and Zach. Coming up next hour, Lance Moore and Jake Madison. We're going to take a quick break for our CBS News update. DJ, run that back. Run that back, DJ. Let me hear it one more time.
You just like that part right there?
That's all I want. I just want the intro.
I want to see your dance. Can we post your dance to Choppa style on here?
No, sir.
No?
Not at all.
Would you have had a post-game dance?
Post-game?
Yeah.
Man, give me something to drink. Give me some Gatorade. That's what I need.
You gotta be lubed up for that.
I'm dead tired. I want to go to the phone line. Uptown Ruler. Uptown Ruler, how you doing, man? Welcome to Fans in the Pro with Deuce and Zach.
All right, Deuce, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. What about yourself?
And, man, I want to ask you two questions.
What you got?
How is the running back, the wide receiver that came from Chicago? And can y'all get Bobby to sing Happy Trails to you by when he sang again?
I'm going to work on the Happy Trails on Wednesday. You got to remind me, but I'll work on that for Wednesday when I'm with Bobby again on air. Sunday, I know I won't be focused on it, but remind me on Wednesday, and I'll make sure that we get it. But the receiver from Chicago, you mean the from the Redskins?
Cam Meredith, yeah.
Well, Cam's on IR. Is that who you're referring to?
Yeah, that's who I'm referring to. How is he doing in his rehab?
You know, I think he's doing fine. I think what ultimately happened, you know, he had a pretty good knee injury up there in Chicago. There was concerns, obviously, throughout training camp. They kept holding him back, and I think ultimately he was having a lot of swelling still, and that's pretty common after a knee surgery. I don't foresee us seeing Cam Meredith again this year. I think that Ted Ginn is a very legitimate, you know, possibility. I could see them activating Ted this week. I wish I knew that one way or another, but I don't. But the reality for a guy like Ted is Ted's in good enough shape to go and play.
He can go and play.
It's not like having an offensive lineman out there long. He could play this week if he's ready.
I'm a Ted Ginn Jr. fan, but I just wanted to know, because next year I want to know what kind of, you know, how many receivers we're going to keep next year, because we're going to have a whole bunch of them in camp.
Well, Uptown Ruler, let us wrap up this year with a Super Bowl, and then we start crossing off that draft and free agency. How about that?
And that sounds good, but I want that Super Bowl ring because I want to go to Atlanta because I got some friends up there. And you know what I want to say to them?
What you going to say?
Drew Brees is a jolly good fellow.
All right.
And they're going to run me out of Georgia.
All right. Well, appreciate the call, Uptown Ruler.
All right,
thank you.
Deuce, you see, so they came out with all the stuff this week about, like, where the teams would be for
That's what I was going to ask you.
That's such a – that's rubbing it in the face right there.
So the NFC team would get access and take over
the Falcons facility.
Is that Flowery Branch?
Flowery Branch,
and
yeah.
Flowery Branch.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that as a player?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, I think it's hilarious.
Right.
Like, that's such a – you know, listen, the players aren't around during that, right?
No.
So it's not like we're going to be, you know, crossing paths. But, man, just, like, as a fan of that team or even as, like, an executive in that building, man, that is, like, such a slap in the face to have the Saints of all teams take over your building – and to have us to win a Super Bowl in your brand new stadium.
Well, if memory serves me right, they had the same opportunity as when New Orleans was hosting the Super Bowl. The Falcons had that same opportunity.
That discussion came up a lot that year.
Yeah, and so it's interesting, and you know, we just want to throw the information out there. We don't want to talk about it too much until it actually happens, but it would be very, very interesting.
You're still worried about all
I am.
This, like,
yeah,
bad
I am.
Juju.
Here, I am.
This is why I think this is why my wife's the same way. This is why I think that's ridiculous. You're telling me these guys are going to go out, they're going to work their tails off all year long, do everything they got to do that is involved in getting to that point in the season, all of that positive work and all that good stuff, and it's going to be derailed by you and me sitting in a radio studio talking?
And that voodoo doll that somebody done pulled out.
I don't buy that for one second.
That somebody done pulled that voodoo doll out.
I don't want to hear it. Quit bringing that voodoo. We got all the voodoo on our side.
Well, no, you got some folks that you got some haters out there, and so the voodoo haters,
yeah,
they come
Atlanta,
out and
they don't have voodoo.
And then, bam, just like that, we got – Bad juju running around everywhere.
If somebody pulls a voodoo doll out on the Saints, I got a pretty strong feeling that there's more than enough here to overcome that. As a matter of fact, we had a fan last year during the playoffs. She was coming to the brewery every single week with a voodoo doll, and we gave her a section on the corner of the bar so she could set up her little shrine, and then she could attack the dolls during the game. That's a true story.
Getting back to football, hey, so not the final, and to follow up about Ted Ginn Jr., he would have to be activated by 2 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so there is still a roster spot open from when the team did release Derek Newton, if I'm correct. So no one would have to be released. He would just take that roster spot. But it has to be tomorrow. And when you talk about injuries, Bushrod is the only player that was ruled out with a hamstring injury.
Right.
For us, so there's a possibility that we may see Teron.
He didn't have an injury designation today, so Teron's playing.
Correct. So yeah. Teron's playing. Max Unger was able to practice all week, so he is going to be good to go. So this will
full strength.
Yeah, this will be the first time in a long time that this Saints offensive line is at least, you know, full strength and not playing. I mean, they're all playing hurt at this point.
Right.
But at least they're playing with pretty good health. Now, when you talk about the Steelers, the only player that's ruled out is James Conner.
Right.
There is a questionable mark with Juju Smith-Schuster, and he is listed questionable with that groin injury. Outside of that, everybody else is pretty much healthy for yeah. them as well. They got some guys banged up like us, but this should be, from an injury standpoint, you're not missing. I mean, we know stars, but you know, this should be a pretty healthy game that teams have as best as possible, guys that you have.
Guys find a way of getting healthy in games like this. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody on this roster wants to miss this game, right? It's a huge opportunity. Clinches the one seed. It's at home. And I think everybody on this roster, I know the fans are like this right now, but everybody is ready to have another one of these games where all that confidence in the offense floods back.
Right.
Because I'll tell you right now, you go and play the Steelers and you put up 35, 38, 40 points on the Steelers, they're not a team in football that's going to feel good walking in. They say they feel good. They're not a team in football that's going to walk in to the Superdome in the playoffs and be like, yeah, we got this.
All right. I got you. Well, I'm looking forward to it. All right. Zach, we're going to take a break. You listen to Fans in the Pro with Deuce McAllister and Zach Streif with you guys until 6:30. We have LSU basketball versus Furman coming at 6:30. So give us a call. 504-260-1870 or text 87870. Welcome back to Fans in the Pro with Deuce and Zach on this Friday afternoon, previewing a little Saints Steelers, also talking about the Pelicans and the Lakers and the Bahamas Bowl. What's that score, Tim?
Florida International won by 3. They beat Toledo. I think it was 32-35.
Florida International.
Listen, now that's a good lower end bowl.
The Bahamas,
you get to go to the Bahamas.
Yeah, Butch Jones, former Miami coach, he is the Bahamas Bowl. Yeah, man, I'd love to go to Bahamas for the bowl.
Right, this way. I mean, I went to the Motor City Bowl one year in college. That was awful.
Detroit, and it was cold. And I did as well. So trust me,
it was no bueno.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just happy to go to a bowl, though. Trust me. You know, when you hadn't been,
yeah,
you're just happy to go. We're going to get to the phone. Josh wants to talk about Juju. Josh, how you doing, man? Thank you for calling WWL.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'd seen that Juju Smith-Schuster was listed as questionable. I didn't know if you guys had known any details about, is it leaning, you know, that he's going to play or not, or is it like a coin toss or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to – I actually do think he's going to play. I think me and Deuce kind of disagree on this. There's been some stuff come out. I think a lot of his teammates are certainly saying they think they're going to have him. It happened in practice, right?
It happened in practice.
He pulled his groin in practice. And, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, if he truly pulled his groin in practice, he ain't playing.
He ain't playing.
Right. If it was a little bit of a tweak and it's like, let's go ahead and play this safe and not, you know, let anything happen and not make it any worse, then – you know, he could certainly play. I think the reality is if he pulls his groin even a little bit in practice, he won't be 100%.
Correct.
I mean, take that for what it is. It's going to remove your top-end speed. Anytime you have a groin or a hamstring or a quad or anything like that, you just don't have that fifth gear. You're not going to get to that top-level speed.
Well, and then you talk about trying to cut in and out. You're not going to do a lot of those routes. I mean, everything is either straight forward or it's one cut. So, yes, he did pull his pulled his groin in practice yesterday. He did not practice today, so he's listed as questionable. Really just wait and see on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. I think he's going to be in.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong.
Do you think if he doesn't play, that results in them looking towards Antonio Brown more, or maybe some of the other guys like Vance McDonald or James Washington stepping up?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably having to – Washington would step up a little bit more. I mean, they're going to look for Antonio, period, anyway, whether Juju is there or not.
Yeah. Okay.
Antonio always gets his looks.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks.
All right, appreciate it, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, James Washington, you talked about last week, led the Steelers. He had 65 yards receiving last week, but, I mean, he's a guy with 13 catches, right? So he's a Keith Oklahoma Kirkwood State kind of a guy.
Yeah, you know, Oklahoma State was I watched a couple of games his when he was at Oklahoma State. I think he was an explosive receiver. I thought he was a little bigger than what he was, but he plays big. He plays big as far as a receiver is concerned. So, I mean, he would still be obviously not the player that Smith is, but, you know, somebody that you have to know where he's lined up at.
Yeah, and I certainly think, you know, more than anything for me, if you lose Juju in this game, it allows a lot more coverage role.
I'm a roll coverage, and I'm matching him with
things a lot easier
with Marshawn as well.
Match him up. I think right now they probably will play this game on sides. They'll play right and left corner to let those guys settle in because you're getting an elite guy on either direction there, and let those guys kind of follow that. You know,
they're going to mix it up though.
More comfortable. Yeah, they will for sure. I mean, and they always do. But between that and not having James Conner, if you were to lose Juju and James Conner,
that's a
substantially reduced production from a Steelers offense. And they're going to have to find some guys in other areas. You know, really, the Patriots last week dared them to run the football on them, and they ran it successfully, but they weren't going to get beat. It was Pittsburgh's lowest output on the year passing the football, threw for 235 yards. So they really kind of left the running game open for them and said, beat us with it. And they, you know, they did a good job of doing that.
Yeah. Before we get to the phones on Stephen's call, you know this, I know you studied, but just for our listeners, that was Samuel's first time ever having 19 carries in a game and over his first time ever going over 100 yards.
Yes.
We're not talking about NFL. I'm talking about ever. Never did it in college. Never did it in high school.
Really? I didn't know that.
Never did it in high school or college. That was his first time getting 19 touches and going over 100 yards ever.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, that is it's like, whoa.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so a little tidbit there. Steven.
Hey, Stephen.
Yes, sir, Stephen.
Hey, guys. Man, thanks for taking my call, man. Just an excited Saints fan, baby. Been following the team since 68. My dad took me to my first game, 7 years old. We were in Tulane Stadium, and the Jets with Joe Namath beat us, but I fell in love with the team, man. I've been a fan ever since. I will be in the Dome Sunday, my brother, to see us smack the Pittsburgh Steelers around so that we'll get the home field advantage throughout and party in Peachtree Street with the Lombardi.
I like it.
Stephen,
can I
count on you to be a section leader as it pertains to crowd noise?
Yes, sir. Listen, man, I get thrown out of houses. I make so much noise, baby. You know, certainly can. Big man, you got to get out of here, baby. You too much noise. I'm an old freshman, man, so I watch the game at the offensive line. I am truly your last few years, baby, I was a fan because your thing, my brother.
Well, thank you.
I used to be mad at you when you was young.
Fair enough.
After a minute, baby, did your thing, baby. And Deuce always was a Deuce fan, baby.
Well, I appreciate it.
What about when he messed up?
I was on that offensive line, baby. I tell the running backs, get behind me, baby, if you want to score.
All right. Well,
thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. Thank you for the call. Zach, we're going to go ahead and take a break and try to squeeze in a couple more calls before the top of the hour. You're listening to Fans in the Pro with Deuce and Zach on WWL.